nothing except every minute I stay clean. Because that's what God grants me. I'm granted a daily reprieve by a loving higher power when I let go. You can see my signature on everything that I do and go through. When I'm angry, it's not hard to tell. When I'm in pain, it's not hard to tell. This is not, they say fake it until you make it. See, there is no faking it with me. My feelings carry on me like nothing I've ever seen. You can tell. You can tell. Even if you don't know me, you can tell. Because of that apparent. I used to be a chameleon. Now I don't adapt well. I just don't. Life has given me everything that my heart desires and more. And I still want more. I am a true dope fiend. I want it all with minimum effort. And I wanted it 3 years ago. If you haven't heard anything that I've said, and if you're new in recovery, remember this. The first thing that you put in front of your recovery will be the first thing that you lose when you hit the door and get high. My name is Howard. I'm a recovering addict. Thank you.
Now I would like to introduce the second speaker. What's your name? Candida. Candida?
Candida.
Oh, I'm sorry. Candida.
That's okay.
Hi, family. My name is Candida. I'm a grateful recovering addict. And I'm going to start out by reading the speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. A basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Again, my name is Candida, and I'm a grateful recovering addict, and I would just like to start out with a moment of silence, followed by the serenity prayer, please. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I thank God. I thank the Programming Convention Committee for asking me to come share my experience, strength, and hope. Every time I speak at a convention, a meeting, anywhere I go, I take that moment of silence for the addict who still suffers. A lot of times those are individuals and my close family. But for the grace of God, you know, my son, who's 24 years old, has not had to use in the last month, and I thank God for that. That prayer goes out for my sister, who's still stuck in active addiction, you know, and I make sure that I take a moment of silence for any other addicts, any of our family members that are still out there using, because like Howard said, we don't have any control over the other addict who still uses. Since I have started doing that, my son has gotten freedom from active addiction. Whew, letting go of claw marks. Unlike Howard, I didn't go. I don't know why they called me to do that, because I knew. when they called me to do this topic, what it was about. It was my story. You know, I need to tell you that I lived to use and I used to live, and I got here just like everybody else got here. Like we used. I need to say that when I got into the halls of Narcotics Anonymous, I would like to say that I stopped using, but I didn't. I stopped using the drugs, a symptom of the disease of addiction. I would really wish that I could go into an area of my life and share my experience, strength, and hope without getting into what I'm about to get into. But in order to give you my experience, strength, and hope, I have to go here. You know, and it's not always real comfortable for me, but it's part of my story. It's my experience, strength, and hope, and I hope and I pray that through what I have to say, I can touch another human being. I need to say that when I came around here, I grew up in a family that I had a mom and dad at home. Both of my parents were available to me. However, my father was the type of person that, you know, would end up missing at times. You know what I mean? So to some degrees, he was available, and to some degrees, he was unavailable. My mother, on the other hand, was always there for him no matter what. So I say that to say that, like, I stuck and stayed through relationships no matter what. No matter what, okay? When I first got clean, I was pregnant, and I thank God that whatever it took to get me here, got me here. You know, I came into the halls, and I wasn't in one relationship, I was in two. And this is my story. You know, but for the grace of God, you know, I started doing some work. I started coming around here. My life was changing, and I was growing up. And, like, the person that I was in a relationship was not, so I needed to let go. So I moved on, you know. I'm really nervous. And I just want to speed up to, like, right where the madness came in and the blessings came in, you know. I need to say that I had gotten to this relationship. And just before the relationship started, there was something inside of me. And anybody in these rooms knows when that little voice inside of you is talking to you, you know. And I'm, like, real grateful that I know that that's, like, the God of my understanding, you know. And it wasn't about him. It was about me, the fear, you know. And I knew it was somewhere that I didn't need to be. It was something that I didn't need to be doing. But, like, I wasn't strong enough to say no because I knew how to hold on. You know, from my young childhood, it was always about my partner. It was always about having a man in my life from a child. When I was in kindergarten, my best friend was a boy. Like, and it wasn't nothing promiscuous or nothing like that, but I got used to that. Like, he was always there. Like, and it was from kindergarten to fourth grade, it was him. Like, and I can bring you from fourth grade up to, from kindergarten straight up to today, we're always having a man in my life. Like, always, at some points in times, looking at you, pointing the finger at you instead of looking at me. I need to say that, like, in this relationship, you couldn't at any point in time even conceive that him and I wouldn't be together, okay? That's the relationship I'm talking about. I'm talking about you could not even say a sentence that meant that him and I wouldn't be together because that was not possible. I could not conceive that. All I knew was him and me, and we were going to be that way for the rest of our lives, no matter what happened, no matter what I went through. Because when I got involved in a relationship, I knew he had some issues. Like, but it was okay because I needed what I needed when I needed it. And it just didn't matter. And in time, I knew he'd grow up and he'd change and he'd do all these things that I thought and I wished and I dreamed and I fantasized. And, like, those were fixes for me, too. That I left that part out, how, like, one of the disease of addiction for me, one of the things that I was addicted to was fantasy. Like, so I lived in my own little fantasy world with that. We were this great couple, like, and don't you dare tell me the truth because I ain't ready to hear it yet. Just let me stay in denial because that's what I'm comfortable with for the moment. Like, and I need to say that, like, that relationship, I stayed in that relationship for years. Okay, I stayed in denial for years. I remember bouts of denial where I was in physical pain due to denial, not facing the reality of what I was going through. It was going to be okay. It was going to change. It was going to get better. We were communicating. We were doing some things. We weren't doing everything, but for settling for something but not everything. You know, I need to say that, like, I went through different things in different years. I talked about a physical ailment. Once it was my back, then it was my stomach. You know what I mean? And that still wasn't enough for me to let go. I need to talk about being caught up in the grip, because I was caught up in the grip. I remember, like, making them phone calls late at night. I had quit smoking for, like, 4 months. And I remember, like, on occasion, when I was home alone, and you were... Now, I need to say, I'll bring you back to my father being unavailable, because that's part of my story, and that's who I was attracted to, someone who was unavailable. Okay? So, like, I remember being home alone and, like, making them phone calls and, like, getting voicemail. And I'm like, now you know what the deal is, but you want to be in denial. Like, and I'm going to call again. And the more I call, the sicker I get, the more thoughts that go through my mind, and the crazier I become. And I need to thank God that, like, at the time, like I said, I had quit smoking. I sat at my kitchen table, like, and I had, before that, like, some reality came into my mind, because I knew, like, things weren't changing and I needed to do something different. I knew that I had got to a place in my life where I was going to hurt you or hurt me or hurt both of us. I need to say that I sat at that kitchen table that night and I just made the phone calls and I made the phone calls and I made the phone calls, and the more I called, the madder I got. Until I got my ass up, I went to the corner store and I got me a pack of cigarettes and I came home and I smoked a cigarette and I called. And I smoked and I called and I smoked and I called. And I realized that, you know what, had I not been smoking cigarettes, I would have been smoking crack. You know, and I thank God for, like, that night I just began to pray. I had started to do something different, and I wanted to reach out to a different person that was in my life that I wanted to get some spiritual guidance from, but, like, that little voice I talked about just said to me, like, I'm right here. Why you need to call anybody? I need to say, like, during the relationship, there were bouts and times that I used to say to my God, I used to say, God, like, why do I keep ending up in this place? Why do I keep feeling what I'm feeling? Like, why keep going through this? And, like, the God of my understanding would sit and say to me, because you keep doing what you're doing. And he said that to me, like, twice in, like, a 3-year period, when I got up the nerve to ask him, because anything I ever asked of him, he would give it to me, share it with me, reveal himself to me. So, like, I was at that kitchen table, and I once again, now that I had the cigarettes and I went through the motions, and I said, God, why does this keep happening to me? Why do I keep ending up in all this pain? And he was like, because you keep choosing to make the decisions that you make. Because you continue to keep doing what you do. And then when I heard it, there was something about that third time that I heard it. Like, I heard what he said. Like, and it dawned on me to, like, wow, God, you said this to me 2 times before. And I was like, okay, like, now that I've heard you, like, help me to accept that. Like, let's talk about some step work. Let's talk about step one, being powerless and accepting some stuff. Admitting some stuff, you know? And so at that point in time in my life, I was able to admit and accept, like, I was where I was because I chose to do the things that I chose to do, you know? I chose to be in a relationship. I had a choice. We always got a choice. Everything we do in our life, we have a choice. We can choose to go to God and ask him for some help and some serenity in his way, or we can continue to do it our way and then wonder why. Like, and I need to say that, like, it was revealed to me, like, I stopped calling. It was light outside now. I continued to smoke, and I prayed, and I'm a good writer. I write. I pulled out the paper and the pen, and I began to write. And I knew that, like, the only way out for me was to gain a relationship with the God of my understanding. Like, everything I put into that relationship, I needed to put into the relationship with me and the God of my understanding. Like, and I need to tell you that, like, when I got out of relationships, I knew you better than I knew me, because all I was about was you. Everything I did was about you. I didn't know who I was. I knew I had a lot of work to do. And I would like to sit here and tell you, like, that was the end of it, and I started this whole big process with the God of my understanding, but I need to tell you that, like, I was in that letting go with claw marks process, knowing that my only solution was a relationship with the God of my understanding for 5 years. The first 4 years, the first year was real good. The next 3 years was the denial years. The I hope change is going to come. The last 5 years, I was committed to a relationship with the God of my understanding. I was struggling with the disease of addiction and being caught up and not knowing how to let go of what I didn't want to let go of. Like, I knew on some given days, I could surrender my will to the God of my understanding and do what He wanted me to do. But on other days, I was all caught up in I want what I want, what I wanted. And when the pain got great enough, once again, I would surrender and know that I needed to let go once again. I needed to say that process right there lasted about 3 years. And oh, I could tell you some stories that took place in those 3 years. Like, we would break up and we would, I'm watching my time because I'll get, we would break up, and I need to be real honest. Like, if you pointing the finger at somebody else, there's three more pointing back at you. You better take a look at you. Because more than likely, if you're pointing the finger, it's because you're seeing something in them that you're doing yourself. I need to say that for years, I substituted and did my own little shit to make me okay with the relationship. Like, I need to say that we had a business together. And, like, the money was, I mean, we had a very successful business together. Like, and it was okay for me to go to a convention and go do my thing, because while I was at a convention doing my thing, and this was back when I was committed, I would be calling from a convention and can't reach a brother. Do you wonder why? And do you wonder why you got extra cash to go to the convention? So, like, I could have my space, not me. He could have his space to do what the hell he wanted to do. So, like, after doing that for a few years, and then I got to a place where I didn't even want to go to a convention, but, you know, fuck it. I'm going because I want to spend your money because you're fucking up anyway. Then I got to a place where I'm going to conventions. I'm being just as promiscuous as you being. So now I'm pointing a finger at you, and what am I doing? Then I got to a place in my life where, like, I knew I needed to get better. I knew I needed to do some work. So I was attempting to do some work, but, like, you hear where I'm coming from, so all that stuff don't stop overnight. Like, yeah, we can surrender and begin to do some work and begin to change, but it's a process. Like, and I need to say, like, I got into so much pain from what I was doing to me, because what he was doing, when I thought he was cheating on me, he was cheating himself. He wasn't cheating me. Okay? What I found out when I was messing around was that I wasn't hurting him. I was hurting me. I was the one who didn't feel good when I got up the next day. You know what I'm saying? I was the one who felt bad for my actions. I couldn't look at you. Like, how am I going to be mad at you now when I'm doing the same thing? So I could no longer be comfortable in what I was practicing. And I thank God for that. And that was only through a relationship with the God of my understanding. Some prayer, some step work, and, like, being honest. It was so important for me to, like, share and be honest. Because at any given moment, like, I didn't know who was showing up. Because the other piece of my story is, like, that I was sexually abused as a child. I call it sexual abuse, but I don't know what it was because I showed up for the shit. I was walking to the place where it was happening. I wasn't little enough for it to have been without my consent. Obviously, if I was walking there, I was giving consent. You know, but I need to talk about, like, in that process right there, and I'm sorry if I'm skipping around, but in that process right there, as a child, I was given jewelry. I was given money. Like, this was all the hush stuff. You're going to take all this stuff and you're going to be quiet about this whole thing. And I need to tell you, like, my body was enjoying it. So I wasn't feeling bad or until I was walking down the street by myself or, you know, after. Like when we use drugs and we hit that crack and we feel real good at the moment, and then when it's all gone, how we feel afterwards. I didn't learn this stuff about me until I got a relationship with the God of my understanding. Okay? When I chose to, when God showed up in my life, He had all this work for me. And no matter what it took to get it done, it needed to get done because I needed to get to a healing place. Like, I didn't even know I held all this stuff inside. Like, I didn't even know that this person was a part of my character. You know what I'm saying? And on any given day, she could show up and we was in trouble. That little girl that was abused as a child or that showed up for some stuff would show up for some stuff here in recovery. And this recovering addict right here had a problem with that because that's no longer who I was. You know, I need to talk about, like, the person that I was in a relationship was unavailable. So, like, a lot of times I would gain relationships with the opposite sex that were way across the other side of the U.S. Like in these relationships, they were phone relationships. Like I have a lot of friends in this fellowship. Yeah, we both had motives and thank God we never had to go nowhere with them. We just loved each other until we were able to love ourselves. We got some guidance, some help, some love. Like I remember every year in March, I don't know what it is with March, but every year in March, I would be in this place. I think, like, the end of the year, I would make a new commitment to be out of the relationship. And, like, in January, I would set up some new goals for the next year. Like, in February and March, January, February, and March would be my real strong spiritual, you know, in March, every year in March, someone would come into my life. Like, and I remember really, like, holding on to these people. Like, really building relationships with men in the fellowship that, like, we were just friends. We were just communicated. Like, so much love and guidance and direction. Like, being able to share who I was without judgment. You know? I remember someone sharing about, like, getting tired of telling their story. I remember telling my story at home, and I'm like, I don't care if y'all tired of hearing me. This is where I'm at. Like, I'm still in the letting go process. Like, I thank God that, like, for a time there, I was afraid to talk about where I was at because I was ashamed of being still stuck where I was. But the longer I didn't share about it, the longer I stayed stuck right where I was. So it's important that, like, I get out what I'm going through. Like, I need to talk about, like, really having to do some work. Like, really needing to grow up and do some big girl stuff. Like praying and writing and doing some step work and sponsoring people and no longer committing to this relationship. Like I was committed to the relationship with the God of my understanding. So in the process of being committed to that relationship, whenever I fell short and went back into that other relationship, my major goal was not to be in it, to get out of it. So it didn't, what continued to happen was I continued to go back to the relationship, but for the periods of time were less and less and less. I could see, I stopped beating myself up because I could see that through every process was growth. No matter what it was taking, it was still a step above where I had started from. And like, in the process of it all, I was still gaining a relationship with the God of my understanding. I was still learning about who I was. And through the relationship with the God of my understanding, it no longer mattered what you thought about me. Because it was more important what the God of my understanding thought about me. Because He's the one who was giving me my guidance and my direction. I no longer needed to be validated by you. And I was so comfortable to come to this convention this weekend. Like not wanting, not looking for love in all the wrong places. Like a brother asking me for my phone number and saying, like, nah, I'm all set. And he's like, well, can I give you mine? And I'm like, for what? I'm not going to call you. Like, focusing on my recovery today. I need to tell you, like, through the blessing of standing up, because I need to talk about letting go with claw marks in all areas of my life. Because I had relationships with women that, he talked about it, I'd assume the position and they'd kick me. And I'd come back and give them a hug and want to fix it and work it out and always wanting to be Miss Fix It. Like, I need to say that, like, God blessed me with a career. Like, when all that stuff transpired in my life and I made a decision to, like, commit to a relationship with the God of my understanding, He started to bless me with all kinds of stuff. Like, He gave me guidance and direction that my friend said, no, don't do that. And I would go back in prayer and get confirmation of what the God of my understanding was telling me to do. And I said, well, I trust God. And I got to do what I got to do. And in the process of it all, God had blessed me with this career that beyond my wildest dreams, I never imagined. Like, and I found out later on that this type of career was in my genes. Like, my father did something similar and did really well with it. And, like, you know, God was just showing up in all areas of my life. But I need to say, like, I still was learning because I still held on to a lot of sick relationships. You know, I always needed to be the stand-up one. I'm going to love you anyway. When I was growing up, it was do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. You know, these are the things that I live by. And it didn't matter what you did to me. I'm going to love you anyway. Until I got so tired of everybody just doing whatever they wanted, you know, and God taught me how to stand up for me today. How to be who He wants me to be, not me. It wasn't about me anymore. You know, it was about Him. I had to, like, take a back seat and just do as He told me to do and trust Him. Like, talking about a step two and a step three. And then even better than that, a step 11, praying for the knowledge of His will for me. And, like, don't pray for the knowledge of His will if you don't have the courage and the strength to do it. Because He'll tell you what it is. There was a couple of times when, like, God revealed some stuff to me, like, and I was like, you want me to do that? Can I move that way? Can I do that? Can I? Like, on my own, I couldn't. But with the person I was praying to and the strength that He gave me to do it, I could. Like, and in my career, He showed up. Like, for a long time, like, I trusted God with my career, like, 100%. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what you thought. It didn't matter what I thought. I didn't have a clue anyway. This was all new for me. God, You got me. You show me. I'm doing it. And the more I did that, the more blessed I was, the more successful my career was. I was getting number one awards and this and that. And I was like, God's like, see what can happen if you do what I tell you to do? Like, and this is just in one area of your life. And I need to say, like, I was able to do that for a little while. And I still do that today with my career. He brought me down another path in my career. And I'm like, you want me to do what? Yeah, you're going to teach. I said, okay. And lo and behold, it came to pass. Never imagined, never dreamed. And then it was like, okay, what about your personal relationship? What about these relationships? Like, are we going to learn to trust me in these areas? And I need to say that relationship, I had gone back so many times. And I remember, like, I talked about relationships with male friends, phone conversations. And a friend of mine would pull me up on my stuff. I remember, like, there were different times that I would fall back into that relationship for different reasons. I fell back for money. I fell back for sex. I fell back just because I didn't want to be with myself. I fell back because I was bored. I fell back because you bought me a diamond bracelet for my birthday. I fell back because it was my birthday and I felt like I needed to get some. And I'd rather get some from you than go to somebody new. Like, I fell back into that relationship for every reason you could possibly think of. I need to tell you that every time I fell back into that relationship, the pain was greater than the pleasure that I was getting from everything that I was falling back for. I need to say that, like, in my childhood, I talked about the sexual abuse. I talked about the jewelry. I need to talk about, you know, I just mentioned how at one point in time, got back into that relationship because of that big diamond bracelet. When I got it, I said, don't think this means we back together because we not. But like, and I would say one thing and do something else, and like 2 weeks later, we had been together for 2 weeks and I couldn't figure out why. Maybe because we were sleeping for two weeks. And you know what? If you still sleeping with somebody, you ain't separated from them. I used to tell myself we were separated, we broke up, we're not together, but we still sleeping together. What's that about? Everybody you sleep with comes with you wherever you go when you leave them. Everybody you sleep with, a piece of them, goes with you wherever you go. Forever. God will remove that stuff for you and help you to do some work, but it's going with you. It's in you. You're carrying it with you. I need to say, like, God took me to a place in my career and I couldn't figure, you know, a lot of times I didn't know what I didn't know because it wasn't time for me to know it. Like, right after I got that diamond bracelet, I got that in January, and like, my year was very fruitful, and by the end, you know, I I'm telling you, I was committed to not being in this relationship. That's where my commitment was. I fell short over and over and over and over again, but I was committed to not being in this relationship. So when I got out of denial after the bracelet thing and I woke up and realized, oh, you done did it again, and I needed to get out, like, God continued to reveal some things to me over and over again. Like, no, I shouldn't say over and over again. Different things at different times. Different pieces that I needed to become this person that I am today. Like, and I talk about going back into that relationship based on that diamond bracelet. And, like, by December of that year, like, I had bought myself, like, all these diamond bracelets. Like, you know, and I fell back to you because I was getting from you what I thought I couldn't get from myself. Like, and God taught me that I could get everything that I was looking to a man for from the God of my understanding. That was a year ago. And I need to say, like, this past December, I don't know about you, but every December I look at the year before and I do my inventory and I try to make sure that my next year is better than my last year. And I made a commitment to the God of my understanding. Not only was I going to try to stay out of the relationship, I was going to stay out of the relationship no matter what it took. I was willing to go through whatever I needed to go through. I was no longer going to fall short for any reason. I was no longer going to settle for anything other than what I expected and what I knew God would have me to have. I need to say, like, I began to stand up for myself. God had taught me and showed me so many things about my self-worth and my self-value and who I really was. And especially if I'm going to be a woman of God and call myself to have dignity, and then you're going to expect certain things and you're going to carry yourself a certain way. There are some things that are no longer acceptable. Like, and there were some people that I needed to let go of in my life. People that I know cared about me, but just wasn't where I was at. Like, people in the fellowship or in the program that couldn't give you what they don't have. Like, I could no longer look at you and say, if I knew you, he talked about getting married to a newcomer. What can you expect from somebody that hasn't had the experience or the growth yet? Like, and being able to love them from a distance, but not allowing them in my space, and while I'm allowing them in my space, doing this so I could get hurt. You know, loving them from a distance and being an example. God taught me how to stand up for myself. I need to say that, like, in the process of standing up for myself and trusting the God of my understanding, no longer being concerned about what you thought about me and my process, like, just trusting God with whatever he had for me. Like, I need to say that, like, that relationship that I talked about, that man came back around. Him and I sat down. We put all the cards on the table. Everything. His, mine, his kids, my kids, his business, my business. We put everything on the table. And it was like, he said to me, you know, I've been trying to work this out for some time, and you just continued to run away from it. And I admitted that part, because that's where I was. I said it. I was committed to the relationship with God and committed to being out of that one. You know, finally I had heard what I had waited to hear for a very long time. Like, I'm ready to do the work, to step up to the plate. Like, I was the happiest woman in the world on that day. You couldn't tell me anything different. But at the same time, I could not respond because a lot of pain had taken place. I'm talking about a relationship that lasted 9 years. I'm talking about the pain of, this topic is letting go with claw marks. The first thing we need to identify is, what are we doing? Are we letting go or are we holding on? Because that's what I was caught up in for a very long time. Am I letting go or am I holding on? What am I committed to? I was committed to letting go for a very long time. And now today, I thank God that I was able to stand up for myself, because in standing up for myself, God blessed me with so much stuff. I had friends come back with apologies and I love you and beginning to understand. This man came back in my life and it was like, I can't make any promises. And one of the reasons was I wasn't sure if I was willing to walk through the pain. I didn't know if I could walk through the pain, and I didn't know what I had to give because I knew I was tired. I knew I was scared. That was the biggest thing. Can I walk through the fear and try this? Like, I couldn't even respond. My first response was, I don't know, I can't promise anything, but I know I like what I hear, you know. But for the grace of God, it's been about 2 months. I don't focus on him today. It's not about you, it's about me. It's about my relationship with the God of my understanding. It's about everything that I learned in that process of continuing to apply it. I can't put everything I am into you anymore. There are some things that I can do that I ain't going to change, that is a part of who I am. And one of the fellows was kind enough to pick us up from the airport, he know what I'm talking about, because I cooked him a dinner last night to show our appreciation. And some of the things that I do that are a part of me are not going to change. And I cater to you. That's who I am. You know what I'm saying? But today I'm learning how to cater to you. Excuse me. How to take care of me first and cater to you. You know, today I no longer have to let go with claw marks just for today, because I've surrendered. You know, I found in surrender a whole lot of peace. You know, I was finally stopped trying to do this myself and say, okay, I'm going to do this. I finally am committed to the relationship with a significant other today. You know, more importantly, I'm committed to the relationship with the God of my understanding and allowing him to guide my life today, not only in my career, but in my personal life as well. The change has showed through my family, through my children, through the people in my life. It hasn't been an easy road. And can I go back to right where I was a year ago? And can he go back to right where he was a year ago? Like that. And that's the reality. That's what it's about. It's like doing the work on a daily basis. One of the most powerful, strong, peaceful feelings I get is like when I'm in the bed doing some step work and like he's in the living room doing some step work and we're like shouting definitions, or, you know, through the rooms. Like, we're both doing the work today, and that's the difference. Like, we're not trusting each other. We're trusting the God of our understanding. Because, like, I don't trust me today. Today I do. I have to be in prayer and in a relationship with the God of my understanding to know that I can be trusted today. I can't expect you to do something that I can't do. If I want you to be something, I need to be it too. If it's not possible for me, how can I expect it to be possible for you? I remember being there. I remember I wanted you to do this, that, and all. Couldn't do it myself. Like, how can you expect somebody to be something you can't be? Today, it's more important of who I am. Like, I'm real grateful to the committee for asking me to come down and share my experience, strength, and hope. Real grateful for the people that showed up and supported me and my sponsor, Wanda, I love you. And, like, real, real grateful for the program, the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. Thanks for letting me share.